Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Dr. John here, speaking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana, the wonderful state of Louisiana, where we have laws that won't allow any abortion in our state. Abortions are illegal. I think it was 63 million babies have been killed in our country because of the wicked government law that allowed this to happen, and the government used the force of guns to allow abortions, and they're still fighting it. These people and this government has educated the masses in schools and public schools through the media and celebrities to kill babies and to call it righteousness. Thank God for the state of Louisiana. I'm proud of this state. I've always been proud of this state. I love the people in it. I love the state. And I love its culture. I love its history. So let's get to something else I love, the Lord Jesus Christ, more than anything else. And in this chapter, Paul is really having a rough time of it. He's been having a rough time ever since he stood his ground against the religious crowd, the Jews, that did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And that's going to be a very important point here, as you'll see. So chapter 24 and verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto the nation by the providence, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." I didn't think that sounded right. Let me read verse 2 again. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, Paul, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." Felix was not a good guy. So, boy, this is really, you know, puffing up old Felix here. Verse 4, "Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow." He's a pest. "And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." This is the first and only time, last time, that the Christians are called Nazarenes. Which is a derogatory term. You know, I think it was Andrew said, they were talking about Jesus. He came from Nazareth. And they said, well, anything good thing come out of Nazareth. And so it's a derogatory term. Nazareth was really not a well-respected place for good things to happen. Verse 6, "Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands." Or howdy, it was that, or they were going to kill him. "Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." So yeah, everybody said, yeah, that's right, that's right. Verse 10, Then Paul, after that, the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and then neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove these things whereof now they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy," that's what the Christians were called. They were called them of the way, or that way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay. Verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So that's the big rub. You had your Sadducees that didn't believe that, and you had your Pharisees that did believe that. So he's got half of the crowd, at least, agreeing with him on the resurrection of the dead, both just and unjust. Verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." I like that verse. And I like what it says, and that's a way to exercise yourself, not to have a conscience void toward man, God or man. And what that means is that to discharge every duty which God requires and to give to every man what is due to him so as to please God and not offend men. That's awesome way to live life, to exercise everything that our Lord commands of us, and that's to love our neighbor as ourselves, love one another, and love God first and foremost, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. That's all right. Verse 17. "Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult." He's worshiping God. Verse 19, "who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day." He's saying that's why this thing's all about, the resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 22. "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter." Verse 23, "And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him." He had a bodyguard, a centurion bodyguard, and he had freedom. He could have his brothers and sisters come and minister to him, and they could minister to one another fellowship. So the state was providing protection. Okay. Verse 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." Now, again, Felix was on his third marriage, Drusilla on her second. Felix took Drusilla away from the marriage that she was in. And because I guess she was a pretty woman or something, but he wanted her. And by his power and wealth, he took her. And so, and let me go over that verse again. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, Paul preached to him, and he reasoned of righteousness. Now, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to come, and what was he going to do? There's three things that he said he was going to do, and this is what he said. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, I'm in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, going up a little bit further, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, the Holy Spirit. And when he come, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's what he spoke to Felix. And Felix is no dummy. I mean, you know, he's a ruler. He's got power. And so that's what he told. He reasoned with Felix. First, he reasoned about righteousness. What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit is going to reason about righteousness because I go to my Father. And what is the big question? The resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, the only religion that has, that proclaims a resurrection of the dead is Jesus, is Christianity. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very pivotal point in the believer. Paul said, if we don't, if there's no resurrection, we're all fools. You know, why are we going through all this? Why don't we just get along with everybody? So it's the resurrection that he proved or reasoned with Paul about. Then temperance. Temperance is, you know, self-control. It's moderation in all things. Moderation in all things. And being a ruler back in the day, he had power, so he abused his control. Or he was very uncontrolling, especially with the way he was with women, and judgment to come. So Paul reasoned with him about judgment to come, about everybody being resurrected from the dead, the just and the unjust, and that if you don't believe in Christ, you're unjust in the eyes of God. But if you trust in the resurrection of Christ and that he paid for your sins through his sacrifice for all sins, and Drusilla knew all of this because of her religious background about how the sacrifices and everything and the Messiah coming. So the results of this, Felix trembled. That means he was so afraid and so scared that he shook. He physically shook. And what was his answer? Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Came close. He was convicted. But he didn't want to, you know, be embarrassed in this state with all of these Jews over there accusing him and his wife a Jew. So he didn't want to surrender to God. Whether he did or not, we don't know. Verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So, Felix, I believe, became a believer, a true believer. I do. Just because he trembled and didn't respond real then, right then, doesn't mean he didn't wasn't convinced later. But there's also the other side. A person will harden their heart when they come close and they don't surrender. That means they don't believe, and therefore a lot of people's hearts are hardened to the truth and to Jesus' resurrection and him being died on the cross for his sins. But I guess I'm an optimist. I believe Felix got saved. Verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So they kept him, his bodyguard, and he kept him there. He couldn't go freely and all of that. But he had a lot of freedom to communicate with other believers. So that's Acts 24, and hope you have a wonderful day in fellowship with the Lord in obedience to his will for your life. I pray that for you and me. God bless you.